topping the New York Times bestseller list.
The Shack is in the top 40 bestsellers of all history.
Having sold millions of copies since its release in 2007, the novel The Shack has become a publishing phenomenon. Now a feature film based on the influential book is to be released in March of 2017. What theology does the book teach? Should faithful Christians be concerned at its impact on the church? Documentary filmmaker Paul Flynn of Megiddo Films has released his latest work, The Shack, Its Dangerous Theology and Error, in an attempt to answer these questions. To watch this film free of charge, please visit our website at megiddofilms.org. That's megiddofilms.org.
You're listening to Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio is a radio ministry of Megiddo Media. For more, visit our website at megiddoradio.com. That's megiddoradio.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. This is Paul Flynn with Megiddo Radio for the 22nd of October, 2016. Thank you all for tuning in. We're going to be talking about Joel Osteen tonight. Now, I talked about Joel Osteen on episode number 192, but I'm going to be dealing with more issues here. I'm going to be dealing with the law of attraction, and I'm also going to be looking at a couple of other things relating to it. Now, on the previous show, what I looked at is how Joel Osteen watered down the gospel and wouldn't look at issues like sin. I want to look deeper at his theology now. Borrow this book from the library. It is The Power of I Am, Joel Osteen. I was in the library, which I'm a member of, next to where I work. I saw the book. I said, okay, going to check it out, read it. And man, was it bad. I probably have notes, probably from nearly every single page. So I'm not going to go through all of this book, because this is the old expression, the clock is, even a broken clock is right twice a day. This, I don't even know if I found any truth in there somewhere. I think the only thing that Joel Osteen said that was true in a number of places is that you are blessed. Yeah, and even if you're an unbeliever, you're blessed to be still alive. God has been merciful that you're still alive. That you have your, if you have legs, he's merciful that he hasn't called you for the judgment seat, that he hasn't struck you down dead. We have to see, in order to understand this, we have to see ourselves, we have to realize we are sinners and not fight against it. We've been created in the image of God, which means the law of God has been written on our hearts. However, man has fallen in sin. Adam, who is the federal head of all mankind, Romans 5, verses 12 to 14, was the public representative, the head, the representative of all mankind. Now, if we do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in Adam. For as in Adam all die, but as in Christ, all shall be made alive. So if you're either in Adam, as we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, or you are in Christ. So are there some true things in Joel Osteen's theology? Yes, but I could get an atheist who has more truth. Has the standard really fallen this short? When I started to get a radio almost about 5.5 years ago now, I didn't go towards issues like this because I think I almost went, maybe it's too obvious. And the thing is, what was obvious at one point, maybe going back maybe decades now at this point, is no longer obvious. The LGBT movement is invading the church, and it is ceasing to be the church. These churches are now becoming synagogues of Satan. They no longer believe the Bible, no longer believe the gospel, and they are no longer true churches when that happens. But I remember looking at, and I remember I talked about this as well when I talked about Joel Osteen before. The reason I'm covering it is not because of Joel Osteen, necessarily. Okay, he has a huge following, but he has a huge following of unbelievers. People who do not trust in the Bible. Those who want their best life now. Those who want health, wealth, and happiness. Those who want to use God as a genie in a bottle. It is satanic. Elements of this can be found in many different churches today. Even, I haven't gone to many churches outside the churches I've been members of in Ireland, for example. But there's been a few times where I have. And let me tell you, some of this theology, in a much more watered-down version, is in many churches. Because it's what people want to hear. It's tickling ears. You want to be rich? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Satan will offer you everything to abandon the Word of God or twist the Word of God. Just because somebody quotes the Word of God does not mean they love God or love His Word. Do they follow it? Do they apply it in their lives? I almost don't know where to start here. What I'm going to be looking at here, okay, in the previous show, I try not to repeat shows. If I've done something before, I've done it before. But on this show, excuse me, as opposed to talking about how Joel Osteen watered down the gospel, I'm going to be talking about his core beliefs and what could be called, name it and claim it, the prosperity gospel, the law of attraction. However, from what I can see, at least comparing it with that famous movie, The Secret, and the New Thought movement of the 19th century, and which eventually became the New Age movement, it seems to be a little bit different, but more in nuances. But basically, his theology is New Age. It's why Oprah Winfrey loves him. Is it any wonder? For those who are caught in this, I implore the person who is caught in this satanic lie. A man who will not preach repentance and faith is not a minister of the gospel. A man who will not call out sin. And to see, the thing is, for Joel Osteen, it's too negative. I remember I was listening to, I was watching a documentary actually on Joel Osteen. And they commented on the documentary, it was stated that if he quoted certain passages of the New Testament, calling for repentance, then it would become maybe obvious to his audience. I think it would even go further. I think many of them would leave. They haven't come to hear preaching against sin. They haven't come to hear about holiness. They have come to hear how they can have their dreams fulfilled, their bank account full, and have no problems and be happy. It is a church of self. Man is enthroned, God is dethroned in these kind of churches. And this happens. I've seen churches like this around Dublin. Just because a church claims to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, do they follow it? And you will not be able to, at the judgment seat of Christ, claim, oh, I didn't know. You have the scriptures. We are to be Bereans and to compare all things and test all things against the Word of God, the infallible standard. Whether or not you're in a Joel Osteen type church or not is not going to determine whether you're saved or not. What determines if you're saved or not? Are you in Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sins? Are you a new creature in Christ Jesus? Have you washed in the blood of the Lamb? These things are never emphasized. All you hear in these kind of churches is a mantra or a positive confession at the end, and this is kind of what I'm going to be talking about today, that you say this prayer at the end, you are a Christian. A spin-off of an even worse version of revivalism, Pentecostalism, the charismatic movement. Let's look at some quotes from Joel Osteen's book on page 2. He says, here's the principle. Whatever follows, quote, I am, and this is from his book, The Power of I Am, subtitle called Two Words That Will Change Your Life Today. Here's the principle, he wrote. Whatever follows the I am will eventually find you. When you say I am so clumsy, clumsiness comes looking for you. I am so old, wrinkles come looking for you. I am so overweight, calories come looking for you. And I remember just thinking, this is when it becomes patently ridiculous. You're going to say that the person who's overweight, that if you acknowledge you're overweight, that you're going to get fatter? I don't think I need to explain that to people. It's often the people who are in denial, anyway, but are not going to change their lifestyle. You have to acknowledge the problem. Sin. In whatever it is, the base of our problems, our sorrow, is sin. We have been born into a sin-cursed world. And we've been born with a God-rejecting, Christ-rejecting, God-hating heart. And we need a new heart. We need to be regenerated. We need the blood of the Lamb to wash away the filth of our sin. So there's a lot of, straight out of the bat, illogical, ridiculous statements. But that, he then says, the good news is that you get to choose what follows I am. When you go through the day saying I am blessed, blessings come looking for you. And by the way, this is one of the things I not completely agree with, but I agree with somewhat. He takes a biblical truth and then twists it and goes in another direction. Yes, we are blessed. We are blessed to enjoy God's creation. If you're a Christian, we are blessed because we've been made part of the Church of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have been given eyes, and Lord willing, spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear. We've been given so many things. You list out all the things that you have. You can't but feel blessed. And we should acknowledge we are blessed and be grateful. There are certain elements of truth in these aberrant New Age doctrines. Even The Secret, it talks about, I can't remember the exact thing, it was something about being grateful. But being grateful to what? To who? Because The Secret doesn't talk about the God of the Bible. Okay, so let's look at the next page, which is subtitled, You Are an Amazing, Wonderful Masterpiece. Some people have never once said, quote, I am beautiful, I am attractive, unquote. This is on page 3 of this is his latest book from last year. I think it's his latest book, at least. They're moving, they're more focused on their flaws and what they don't like about themselves and how they wish that they were more here and less there. Now, here's the thing. You shouldn't focus on, oh, I wish I was different here. You know, a guy being wants to be more muscular or a woman wants to be. Don't overly fixate on that. I think there's a healthy level of it. You know, maybe you're overweight and you need to lose some weight and you need to exercise more so that you can serve God. That should be the ultimate goal of everything. Whatsoever we do for the glory of God. But if you go around and say, I am amazing, I'm a masterpiece, I'm fantastic, I'm wonderful. What kind of supreme arrogance? Is this? It's basically love yourself. You are, and this is how, out of the Word of Faith movement, you get this, you are God theology. He may seem nice on the cover. I don't think he's, I don't know if he's a fake. Maybe he's different in private than he is in public. I have no idea. He looks, quote unquote, like a nice guy. But he is teaching satanic heresy from the pit of hell that will take people to love. He does not care for you. To truly care for thy neighbor as thyself is to warn of sin, especially if you're a minister of the gospel, with the Bible in your hand, which he selectively quotes and twists. Let's look at some of this twisting. First place, I spotted it, and a couple of pages into it before there was any scripture. He twists Psalm 139. Oh, yeah. He says, David said, this is about that you're a masterpiece and all this kind of stuff. He said, David said in Psalm 139, quote, God, I praise you because you have made me in an amazing way. What you have done is wonderful. Now, I'm just going to read that one more time. Now, he's going to say this, well, I'm amazing then. I'm going to quote again. God, I praise you because you have made me in an amazing way. Notice how it's an amazing way. Not I'm amazing. What you have done is wonderful. What does he do with that? Because, look, I'm going to get a better translation. I don't know what translation that is. It might be at the start of the book, actually. Usually they tell us. Ah, the Message Bible. Wonderful. Anyway, it's from the Message Bible, or so-called Bible. It's not a Bible translation at all. So, and that if your church uses the Message, your church does not care about the scriptures at all. Doesn't care. It is a joke. It's a paraphrase of a paraphrase. It is not the scriptures. Anyway. But let's look at this. Psalm 139. He doesn't give the verse reference, but it's verse 15. Where it says, Psalm 139. Am I got the right place? Trying to find it. But here's the important thing, right? God is not saying here, oh, how amazing you are, and everything is twisted in order to make it seem twisted in the direction. Ah, here it is, verse 14, sorry. I will praise thee. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. It's a praise of God. And that my soul knoweth right well. I am blessed because I know thee, the God of heaven. But how does Joel respond to this? Notice David's I ams. He is saying, not in pride, but in praise to God. Okay, he's got that part, right? I am wonderful, I am amazing, I'm a masterpiece. No, he doesn't say that. He says, I've been made in a wonderful way. He's praising what God hath done. He doesn't go, as John Olsen says, I am wonderful, I am amazing, I'm a masterpiece. He simply does not say this. The next part, we're going to look at page 5. When, and I'm not going to look at all of these. Page 5, if I can find it here, he quotes from Psalm 22, verse 6. Maybe I won't cover this. I mean, let's just think about this for a second. Are you going to his church? Look, and if you were going to Joel's church, or a church similar to that, why are you going there? I can go through all this stuff, but why are you going there? Why are you lining this man's pockets? I know, he probably says he doesn't make much money out of it. I don't know. Do you love the scriptures? And if you do, how can you justify going there? How do these two things line up? They simply do not. Let's look at some of his other beliefs. So he says on page 7, so what's coming out of your mouth? My question today is, what kind of, quote, I ams are coming out of your mouth? I'm victorious, I am blessed, I am talented, I am anointed. When you have the right I ams, you're inviting the goodness of God. Think about it. Just say you're an unbeliever and you say, I am blessed, I am talented, I am wonderful. No, you're inviting the wrath of God because you're proud. You need to humble yourself before a holy and just God. Repent ye, lest ye shall likewise perish. The scriptures, Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, the apostles, all called all men everywhere to repent, to turn from their idols to the living and true God. Is that what Joel is talking about here? Not in the slightest. But I want to say that it's even more satanic than many realize. I'm not just talking about the link to the New Thought movement. I'm not exactly sure, to be honest. It's very, very similar. The Word of Faith movement, which basically talks about you're a creator. You speak forth your reality, and you're like a little God then. Now, not all of the Word of Faith movement teaches that you are a, quote, little God. Joyce Meyer, at least in the past, taught it. Don't know if she still does. I think she still does. Benny Hinn, at least taught it in the past. There are claims from an interview from the 1990s that he's renounced it. But you see a pattern. You are giving and attributing more power to man than to God, and you make God the mere butler and servant of men. Oh, and that's all. Man wants to be rich. He states it. I'm going to be rich. I am rich. I am powerful. Then you will, and God has to answer you. What supreme arrogance this is. This is satanic. This has nothing to do with the glory of God. This is all to do with the glory of men. I'm going to skip on a little bit here. He says, and this is a bit near the end of page 7 of the book, my encouragement is to never say negative things about yourself. Most of us would never go up to another person, at least to their face, and criticize them. You have no problem criticizing other. We have no problem criticizing ourselves. And he goes on, I'm so slow, I'm so unattractive, I'm so undisciplined. This is cursing your future, apparently. Now, again, if you are talking like that, oh, I'm so unattractive, and you're depressed about it, then you're not getting joy from Christ. You're so full. Yeah, don't focus on yourself at all. If I looked in the mirror, I'd be disappointed too. you shouldn't be kind of, if the end of your life, the very end of your life is your career or something other than God, it will leave you dissatisfied. Of course it will. I cannot, if I find satisfaction in anything else other than Christ, I won't, number one. Only Christ can quench that thirst of the soul. Only Him and Him alone. Not these principles from Joel Osteen and not getting rich. And not fulfilling your dreams, your carnal, sinful dreams. Said, that is cursing your future. Do yourself a favor and zip that up. You have enough in life against us already. Don't be against yourself. And again, the same problem, you identify these problems, but the same problem is you're making an idol of yourself and you're focusing on yourself too much. Okay, what's the next part I want to look at? So, again, I want to look at what Osteen teaches. And this is a horrible example, another horrible example, page 8. You are who God says you are. And it's a very good meme. I don't usually like memes. Not a big fan of them. The part of this chapter, I'm still on the first chapter, the power of, quote, I am. You are who God says you are. Well, that's true. If you are a blasphemer, a thief, a homosexual, a man-stealer, or anything else like that, anything that denies you belong to Christ, then you are a reprobate. Read Romans 1. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. If your fruit is not good, what does God say that someone like Joel Osteen is? Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter in the straitgate, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go thereat. The straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. What kind of fruit is Joel Osteen producing? He says, you are who God says you are. A reprobate. They don't believe her. Who places more value on the things of this world and having your best life now rather than looking to Christ and looking to that promise to come. Completely different message. And we're not trying to look inside his head. And you know, these people who say, well, that's between him and God and all this kind of stuff. Well, if he truly believes what he says he believes, he's not a Christian. And if he doesn't believe what he says he believes, then he's a liar. So either way, it's not good. So in this section that I was talking about here, page 8 of this book, Romans 4 says to, and he doesn't give the verses. I don't know. I've never Are there verse references? I can't remember in the message. I imagine that there are. So Romans chapter 4, and he's quoting from verse 17. And I just want to give you one more example before we look at the law of attraction a bit more and what exactly Joel Osteen is teaching here. I want to look at how devilishly satanic this is. How this really goes back to Romans chapter 3. And the lie that you shall be like God. A very old deception. So his quote from the message was, it says, call the things that are not as though they were. Osteen writes, that simply means that you shouldn't talk about the way you are. Talk about the way you want to be. So he's like, so he's using this as a, and I've seen this actually Joseph Prince as well. I was on the internet trying to find the verse reference to this. And I think one of the first things that popped up in Google was a Joseph Prince article on this, who also teaches the prosperity gospel. So this isn't anything unique to him. Does this verse say, you know, call the things that are not as though they were? So you say, oh, well, you say it as you say things that you want to be. Number one, what does the verse actually say? Romans 4, verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father unto many nations. Before him, whom he believed, even God, now listen to me here, who quickened the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who's doing this? Is this a command? The way Joel Osteen's making it sound? Call the things which are not as though they were? No, it's saying God does this. Even God quickeneth the dead and call those things. He'll quote a tiny section. Who quickeneth the dead and call it those things which be not as though they were. He's taking the place of God and putting you in there and saying, that can be you. I'm sick of the pandering, the kind of, oh, you know, I remember a couple of years ago, Michael Brown wrote an open letter to Joel Osteen. Just give you an example. And he wrote, I really appreciate that you mention, you know, at the end, call people to come to Jesus and all this. I don't appreciate heretics like this. We need to call these people out for what they are, charlatans. Those who are leading souls to hell. This is not just some disagreement of theology. This is the difference. This is a false gospel. Anyone who teaches any other gospel, let him be anathema. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Regardless of who they are. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. So that's a blatant twisting of that verse. And not just Joel Osteen, Joseph Prince as well on his website. So you have to call it the way you like it. Now I'm just going to skip on a little bit, and we're going to look at, talk about change your I ams, be Joshua and Caleb. I'm going to skip ahead here. Chapter 2 is a bit more revealing. It says, be positive or be quiet. So, look at this. And I mean, you could take any of these pages. I mean, I'm just trying to cherry pick and show you a bit of a cross section of this. Almost every single line has something seriously doctrinally weak or heretical in it. And I've read books that have been really, really bad. for various different projects and whatnot. And at times, they've been correct. I don't know if I've read anything as bad as this. You are where you are today, in part, Joel Osteen writes, because of what you've been saying about yourself. Words are like seeds, and he's often said this in interviews. When you speak something out, you give life to what you're saying. If you continue to say it, eventually it will become a reality. Oh, wow. He goes on to say, whether you realize it or not, you are prophesying your future. Notice how he's taking the attributes, even the sentences in the scripture that talk about God, and he's attributing it to man. He's saying, you prophesy your future. He goes on to write, this is great when we're saying the things such as, you know, positive things, and I'll skip on a little bit. That's not just being positive, you're actually prophesying victory, prophesying success, prophesying new levels. Your life will be more in the direction of your words. Go on to write that. What is he teaching? Who in the Bible teaches something similar to this? Well, in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent said, ye shall not surely die. Don't talk about negative stuff. Genesis 3 verse 5, and God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Man wanted to be like God. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. While he didn't have I ams, something very, very similar. Isaiah 14 verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, thou son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Let's go back to what Joel Osteen says. Continue to say this, eventually will become a reality. Whether you realize it or not, you were prophesying your future. Again, page 15 in his atrocious book. For thou said in thine heart, positive thoughts. Lucifer was very, very positive here. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit among the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Notice how he doesn't say he's going to be above God. He's going to be like God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And when we want to be like the Most High, I don't mean in terms of moral attributes. We should be like the Most High in being holy, love your neighbor as ourselves, following the example of Christ, of course. These are the communicable attributes. We create an image of God. This is the Ten Commandments. This is what we're supposed to obey. Yes, but we're not omnipresent. We're not all-knowing. We do not speak forth true. When we speak forth things, it doesn't... We're not in control of the universe like God is. And when we take these attributes that are non-communicable, that are not to be communicated to, we are saying to ourselves, we will be like the Most High in the same way Lucifer did. Ezekiel 28. He may look smiley, may be very popular, and many sports stars may love him, but he is speaking words. The only way you can find Joel Osteen's teaching in the Bible and be consistent with it is if it comes from the mouth of the devil. Look at what it said about Lucifer in the garden. Ezekiel 28 verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, every precious stone. And it talks about here. Now, it talks about the king of Tarsus, but it's talking about, mystically, the devil as well, Lucifer. How amazing he was. And he believed it. Every precious stone was covering the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx. These amazing stones. Skipping on to verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set these so. God, listen to this, right? God made Lucifer good. Everything that was made was good. But Lucifer fell. The adversary of mankind fell. And I have set thee so, that thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, as walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways in the day that thou wast created. Like that quote from Psalm 139, verse 14. Let us praise God for his creation. Till iniquity was found in thee. What was the problem with Lucifer? It says here, verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise have I filled the midst of thee with violence and hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee out as profaned in the mountain of God and destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Oh, what does Joel Osteen say to do? To look in the mirror and say, I am beautiful. He says, back in verse 7, so what's coming out of my question today is, what kind of I ams are coming out of your mouth? I am victorious. I am blessed. So you want people to follow the example of the devil here by being lifted up in your heart. Ezekiel 28, verse 17, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Even if you are beautiful, it's never good to just go, oh, look at how beautiful I am. Look at how amazing I am. Is it, oh, well, that's not pride. That's a lie. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Lucifer was created beautiful, amazing. But what did he do? He focused on himself and said, I'm going to go on further. I will do this. I will do this. I will declare. I believe it will happen. What Joel Osteen is teaching is exactly the same. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. This teaching is satanic. There's no other way to describe it. What does he stick before you? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You shall be like gods, knowing good and evil. See that pinnacle, the top of the mountain? You can go there if you just declare it. You're saying you have the same power as God. It is not biblical, and wherever you can find in the Bible, you can only attribute it to one person. That is the devil, the adversary of mankind, and that is the example of Joel Osteen. Now, there's also an aspect of his teaching as well. I just want to look at this as well. He talks about prophesying thy future, your future. Page 32. Let's skip around a little bit here. He talks about kind of a creative power. Words have creative power, he says on page 32, chapter 3, say so. When you speak something out, you give life to what you're saying. It's one thing to believe that you're blessed. It's important that you are saying, I am blessed. It makes on a whole new meaning. That's when blessings come looking for you. Scripture says, well, he torches another scripture here. That's all good, but you have to, basically you say it. In the Bible, who declares something to be so and it comes to pass? Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. That's God, not man. So we can't Bess is just delusional. But it's clearly saying we have the same power as God. Creative power? When we've been created in the image of God, it is not that we can speak forth reality. We're not omnipresent, are we? So there's communicable and there's other attributes that are non-communicable. They're not passed on from God to man. It's in the Ten Commandments, the very image of God, the very moral character of God, not in his omnipresence, he's omnipotent, all-powerful. We're not all-powerful. We're not. Anybody in the scriptures who says, apart from asking, you know, it just declares, I will do this, I will do that, I will be like the Most High. How did it end for them? It ends in destruction for that person. Be ye not deceived. Now we're going to look at the book, The Secret, a guy by the name of Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey is kind of a comedian, but he professes to be a Christian. And when I heard about him years ago, never actually watched anything by him on television. He'd be seen as kind of a Christian comedian. But he's going to put forward, he says he believes the Bible and all this kind of stuff. But it's very much a prosperity gospel kind of thing. We're going to watch now, just for the end of the show, and comment on it. Him presenting the law of attraction. This is the thing where it says you think positive thoughts, positive things come towards you. You say positive things, you're like a magnet. You attract things to you. Movie stars believe in this. Prominent big celebrities believe in this kind of stuff. I was looking at a video there the other day. People like Jim Carrey. That big UFC star, Conor McGregor. Don't watch anything by him, by the way. He's foul-mouthing him. So, actually from Dublin, by the way. But anyway, so, we're going to look at this. This is the kind of, it's an occult book. And it is the basic idea that man is God.
Welcome back, everybody. You know, folks, I'll admit it. My life is going really, really well. Many of my dreams have come true. And there are plenty of you who've got huge aspirations for success, too. I get emails and tweets all the time from people. So many people asking how I did it. I try to share the principles of success whenever I can, because I have not gotten this far without learning the principles of success. And over the years, I've just realized that common sense just ain't that common. So I often get inspiration from books, and one book that resonates with me all the time is this book right here. It's called The Secret. It is.
So this is a book that Oprah loves, and it's very, very popular, and it teaches this law of attraction completely antithetical to what the Bible teaches.
The most powerful book outside of the Bible that I have ever read in my life. And the book is based on the law of attraction and how that principle, once you master it, can help you find wealth, happiness, better health, whatever you're looking for, relationships. So let me share.
How about glorifying God? Oh no, whatever you want outside of God, and this is okay. How about you pray to God? I mean, if there's something that's good and it's good in the sight of God, just say you want a good job, well, you pray to God for it. And if you don't, if it doesn't happen, maybe it's not the will of God. You pray these things. For something, you know, maybe you pray for a job that isn't suited to you, and the Lord says no. And that's a blessing if it's not the right one, and God can open up another avenue.
Some of the concepts that have helped keep me on my game. So the first one is like attracts like. You have to understand, you are a magnet. Whatever you are, that's what you draw to you. If you're negative, you're going to draw negativity. You're positive, you draw positive. You're a kind person, more people are kind to you. So you're like a magnet, you know. And you got to understand something about like attracts like. If you...
Again, it's the whole idea. You control your reality. You. Man-centered, and it is not compatible with the Bible.
See it in your mind. You can hold it in your hand. This is so true. You've got to grab this. You've got to create dream boards. You got to put the new car up on your mirror. Put the weight you want to be on the refrigerator. If you can see it in your mind, you...
Yeah, fill your life full of idols. Because that's what you want. You know, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, it just... It's amazing. The people who claim to believe the Bible. Claim to believe the Bible. Walk in darkness. It says here in 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
You can hold it in your hand. That's the law of attraction. That's what you bring to you. Okay, moving on. The next principle. Ask, believe, receive. So many people overlook this very simple quality. You don't have to figure it out. That's what freezes people. When you're trying to figure out your life all the way to the end, when you can't figure it out, it freezes you from trying it because you go, oh, well, I can't figure that out. Oh, I can't go over there because I don't know how. You don't have to know how. You have to ask, believe, and receive. That's as simple as it gets, folks. It's very, very true.
Ask, believe, receive. Just ask for what? Is it in line with the... Does it glorify God? You can have whatever you want. That's the message. Whatever you want. It's yours.
I really want you to understand that. Now, science says, show me and I'll believe. Faith says, believe and I'll show you. There is a difference. Next, very important. Gratitude is a powerful process. The only way to move to the next level is you must show gratitude for where you are. If you show gratitude, it gets you to where you want to be quicker.
That just say, okay, I'm really thankful. I'm just saying thanks because I want to go further. Could you imagine, right? Joe, if you go to your boss and, you know, I know people do this, you know, they say thank you and they, you know, they really grovel. It's like, oh, you're amazing. Why? It means to an end. Do you think that's going to work with God? Even if this gratitude, who is this gratitude towards? Because the secret is not about the God of the Bible. What would you say it is towards the God of the Bible? It means to an end. You're using God to get just what you want. So God then becomes a means to an end, not the end itself, not where we seek our satisfaction and joy from. No.
Very true. This is the last one. Laughter attracts joy. And it releases negativity. And it leads to some miraculous cures. Laughter is so big, man. When you're laughing, it just brings a lot of joy into your life. It attracts joy. It releases negativity. You know, at my mom's funeral, I learned something that was the most important lesson I've ever learned. I was sitting out totally distraught. My mama was gone. You couldn't talk to me that week. It was the worst week of my life. The minister said something. He told us to think of only the good things that she's done. So me and my brothers were sitting there, and we started laughing about some of the stuff my mom had done. And we started smiling. And then the minister said something that has registered with me. Joy and depression cannot reside in the same space. Laugh every chance you get. Just bust out laughing. Even if it ain't funny, just laugh. That's it. We'll be right back. We got more.
Okay, apart from the ridiculous statement again. Yeah, I think there is a biblical principle in scripture of merry heart maketh good like a medicine. However, there are times to be sober, somber, to look, well, soberly on things. There are times to be serious. Again, are we being like the Bereans in Acts 17:11 and comparing all things with Scripture? Do you truly know the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're listening to this and you don't like what I'm saying, I'm not saying you have to like what I'm saying, but what the Scriptures say. And you'd rather go with self-help gurus like Joel Osteen, who tell you that you're your own God, that you have the power of God, that you'll be like the Most High, then you prefer the message of the devil and of his of your lusts, of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life will drive you, will be your greatest motivation. It won't be for the glory of God. It'll be for your glory. You're going to be looking in the mirror saying how amazing you are. It's all about you. That's the message. That is the false gospel. This is not a minister of Christ. This is a minister of Satan. No matter how pleasing and no matter how friendly he may seem. This has been Paul Flynn. May God bless you all.